Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, this is Brett, also from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Steve Patton from Gilbert, Arizona.
We'd like to welcome you to come and reason together, like it says in Isaiah, through the scriptures, reason. And we like reasoning. And we are going through the book of Matthew. We are looking at the parables. And so you might want to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee and join us in the book of Matthew. But first, we talked about the order of the four Gospels and the true names of them. And my Bible says the Gospel according to Matthew, and that's the good news according to Matthew. And today we are so used to hearing bad news. America's in dire straits. Wouldn't you all agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure it is.
It seems like day by day, something else.
That people don't know if the country's going to hold together, if we're going to even go bankrupt, if we're going to go into another war. And this is on the news constantly. But let's switch to the good news. The gospel means the good news, right? And we noticed through our reading from different people that we have found to be Bible lovers too, that's one of the things that my friends are Bible lovers. And not, should we call denomination? Denomination, that word means to put a number value to it. It's almost like making money off of it. And Jesus kicked the money changers out of the temple. That was the last act he did. That's the only act he did on earth with violence. He physically threw them out of the temple. Can you imagine one person throwing all those guys out? And they were called money changers. And he says, my house will be a house of
prayer.
House of prayer. Not for money, not for making money.
Well, it's a different way of looking at Jesus too. Everybody thinks he's, you know, just all peace and all these things, but really there's the other side of that too. He's both the master and the savior.
He didn't like people using people. He didn't like people using his name in the wrong way because he is different. He's totally different. We're going to get into that. And so the book of Matthew is the first book that a person, it's a pathway. Jesus actually said for the first time in the book of Matthew, change your mind because the kingdom of heavens is at hand. And then two verses later in Matthew 4:19, I just said 4:17, in 4:19 it says, come and follow me. So this book of Matthew is the first start. It's the first time he says it in the New Testament, in the Good News. And so you have to start with the book of Matthew. And the book of Matthew has a theme, and it's about Jesus. And it's about his name being Jesus and that he is the king. So if you live in America, you should take a civics course to know how to live in the country and what the rules and laws are so we can live in peace and joy and live a right called righteous, which means to live right, to live the right way, that will respect others, that will put others before you, that you'll be always considerate of other people. It seems like everybody seems to be angry and want their way, and there's a lot of miscommunication, a lot of anger. Now in America, I think America's almost torn in two. So the book of Matthew has to do with The kingdom, he said, repent because the kingdom of heavens is at hand. So this book introduces, the title of it is The Kingdom of the Heavens, and Jesus is the King. And it's authored by God, and Matthew just happened to be the scribe that wrote it out. The next book, the same way in headings, should be The Servant, not the book of Mark. Mark is only the scribe. He'd be like the publisher, the person that made it available to all of us, author being God, but it's Jesus comes as a servant. And an interesting thing about it, the word immediately happens about 40 times in here, and it happens about 11 times in chapter 1, didn't it, Steve?
Yes, it did. Yep.
That Jesus comes as a servant, and everything is done immediately. How about if you go into a restaurant and you order a steak, and they say, okay, we'll bring it tomorrow. Would that be your favorite restaurant?
You'd probably complain to the manager and, where's my food?
Or not go back again.
Or not go back.
Or leave right then. And also, what is the position, the people that are being served in, and what's the position of the waiters? What are they? What's the difference? It's an obvious difference.
The servers are the ones serving the people that are...
You mean seated and standing?
Seated and moving.
Yes.
Oh.
Stationary, seated, and scurrying. Ken Miller and Richard Osland used to say that, you know, when you have those times when the restaurant is full, it's like a campaign, like a military campaign where everything has to be, everything is set up, it's staged, it's ready. You know, if you go into a war, all your tanks are there, you have enough ammunition. What happens? You get to the battlefield and you don't have any ammunition. Well, in a restaurant, it's the same thing. And you want to have all the food you think you're going to use that night, and everything's fresh, and the wait staff is really paying attention to the people, and they're up scurrying around, and the people are sitting. And isn't that the last thing Jesus says when he returns? He's going to make us to sit down. The King is going to make us sit down, and he's going to serve us. You ever thought about that?
I haven't thought of that.
Well, this is what happens in the book of Mark. He's going to do it for us. He's going to die in our place. We're all dead men, really, because of Adam's sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And unless we leave the path, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are going this direction. But God offers us this opportunity. While he is near, call upon him. While he is near, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. The book of Matthew told where he was, in the heavens, the kingdom of heavens. The ability to go back to God in the heavens is at hand. And then the book of Mark is Jesus is going to do everything for us. How would you like to go to a doctor who's batting about 10% in saving people's lives? Well, some cancer events, they're batting less than 10%. And I know somebody very dear to me that got into that realm. And so the doctors aren't working. And it was the Lord's time to take that individual, but it's always sad when you can't see them anymore. It's they're with the Lord, and but it's just sad for the people on earth that miss them terribly. Anyway, so the book of Mark has to do with servitude and how Jesus served us. And also, how would you like to be in a room of people where everybody wants to be served and nobody has the attitude to serve the person? Well, Jesus, after we're going to follow him and he's a servant, what do you think he's going to teach us first? First, we're under a king. It's the kingdom of the heavens. And we start off, like if you start a business and you want to start your son in the business, where's the best place to start him?
At the bottom.
At the bottom, serving, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe cleaning the bathrooms. serving other people, doing a job that nobody likes, and let him progress and understand so he can understand everybody else. Oh yeah, I used to do that. I didn't like that part. Oh, I liked windows. I liked it better than latrines. And then there's the book of Luke. And Luke is the gospel of the Son of Man. And it shows that Jesus, to be able to understand us, to judge us with an understanding heart, he had to put on our fallen nature. He became the son of Adam after he had fallen. And he's in the lineage of Adam and then the fallen Seth and everybody else. And so he understands us so he can judge us with understanding. He knows all of us intimately. And he knows what it's like to go through all these things, yet he was
perfect, without sin. It even says that he's in the Old Testament, he's a man familiar of sorrows.
Familiar with our sorrows.
Familiar with our sorrows.
He knows us. He understands us. Do you want to talk to somebody that thinks they're above you or somebody that's on? He came to our level and became equal to us so he can understand us, have the same sorrows, be betrayed by a dear friend. There's Psalms that talks about his relationship with Judas Iscariot, isn't it? And yet he betrayed him and what that's like. And then the gospel of John. Well, Matthew started with Abraham, which is halfway through the Old Testament, about 2,000 years before Christ, right? Adam's right in the middle of the Old Testament. And he was born in 2008 after Adam was created. And then this book, the book of Luke, pardon me, I was skipping on to John, but back to the book of Luke, it starts backwards. It starts with Jesus and goes back to his coming from Adam. But now the book of John, where does it start?
In the very beginning.
In the very beginning. So here it starts at 2000, and then it goes back to zero. Isn't it the progression? God starts now, and then he goes backwards. You know, that. So he's going now back in the book of John to in the beginning, where God created the heavens and the earth. Not the beginning of time, but in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. All things were made by him. And he was called the Word of God. So that, I wanted to go over that review. I'll do it again later on in this series of discussions about the Gospels. And we're going to go back to Matthew, and we're going to, when you're looking at the kingdom of the heavens, which direction do we look? Or let's start with, what do we look at now? What does mankind look at now?
Where, like literally?
Yeah.
Man will look around. They'll go, is it over here or is it over there?
Or they're looking at everything that's happening around them today at their eye level or down. Once in a while, people will look up at the sky or whatever, but our concentration is things that are going on around us in the realm where we live, not very much higher than your head. And we often, I think man is so trodden down today, most people don't even look up at the least. Most people look down because we can no longer, after man fell, we could no longer go home. And our home was in heaven. And we lived on earth, but we could always go back to God. We were, shall we say, not encumbered by gravity. There's seven scriptures that show that we actually could fly. So what's the other direction that God is calling us to look?
Up.
The first book. This is the book of Matthew, and this song is found in Colossians chapter
3, the beginning of Colossians chapter 3.
Set your mind
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, when Christ, who is our life, we shall also be revealed with him in glory. Set your mind
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Now I'm going to invite, Andy doesn't know I'm going to do this. I always like putting him on the spot. And of course, sometimes he throws it right back at me. But I wanted to not forget the preaching of John the Baptist, who happened to be related to Jesus. I think they were cousins, right?
Yeah.
And John was 6 months older than Jesus, but he was sent by God to prepare the way for the King of the kingdom of the heavens. And so I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 3. And also, we want to bring John in on this. We want to pay due diligence. We want to pay respect to his part in this tree. And I especially like this one area in here in chapter 3 where he talks about putting the axe to the tree. And the context is, it's 1 through 12. Which is interesting. And I'd like Andy to take over on that. That seems to be a specialty that he loves to talk about, the Lord led him to talk about. But this is where we can't just go into Jesus without giving him a proper introduction. If you want to read the genealogy, you can, because it starts with Jesus' birthright. And later on, it talks about where John comes from. And maybe as we go along, Andy could, at the right times, we can go through these different things. But do you think you can start in verse 1 of chapter 3, or would you like to start in another place, Andy?
Well, I was going to just start in one place. It's over in the very first part of Mark, chapter 1. And it's a statement that was from the book of Isaiah in chapter 40, and it says, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Well, notice it's got a bunch of things it's saying in here that might not be obvious. It says first, "Behold, I send my before your." So who is I, who is my, and who is your? If you look at God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is saying, the Father is saying, I send my messenger, because God the Father does all of the planning, and Jesus says that I can do nothing of myself. I can only do what my Father tells me to do or shows me to do. So God the Father had it in his mind to send a messenger whose name was John to prepare the way for Jesus. Jesus didn't prepare his own way. God the Father chose John to be sent to prepare the way for Jesus, and Jesus comes and simply follows it. You can see this quite effectively in Matthew 3, because the first thing that John said when the word of the Lord came to him was, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand." And the first thing that Jesus spoke to the people was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Heavens is at hand. So he's identically doing what John said, what God the Father told him to do. Now, you might think, wow, this seems really organized. Well, it is really organized because God is an orderly God, and the Father's involved in this. He sent John, and there's Jesus. And that is kind of a mouthful that I just said there, but go and look at Mark 1, 1 through 3, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And then go back and look in Isaiah 40, and it'll talk about many things about this messenger that was going to be sent.
So let's start in Matthew chapter 3. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is only found in the book of Matthew. It's always the kingdom of God in any other place, but it's only found in these gospels, in the gospels, in Matthew and in the other three gospels, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the kingdom of God. So we're going to look at John, the first thing, and what he is talking about. So Jesus tells us to repent. He'll tell us to repent in just a little bit, but let's get a little background as to what they were to repent of. And what they are to repent of is compared to a tree, and this tree needed to be chopped down, and it needed to start with a new tree. And so let's start with this in Matthew, and we're going to let Andy take over again and explain Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12.
Oh, really? Well, Andy, he said I could throw it back to him.
All these years, I throw it on to Andy, and he'll tell me whether he throws it back or not. So,
well, why don't you start? I'll chime in.
Okay. I guess this is the way it's going to work. Okay. And, we can't change. You know, leopard doesn't change his spots. Now, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, and one of you, Steve Patton, you read that, would you please?
Yep. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you in water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire."
So, Andy, what do you think about that?
You know, when he says repent for the kingdom, a lot of the translations say the kingdom of heaven. But if you look in a very accurate translation, the Pannon's Bible, it says the kingdom of the heavens. I had a person that had been a Bible student and reading and doing things for maybe a year, and they called me up recently, I think maybe a year and a half. And they asked me, they said, well, you know, I see in this one Bible that it's got the kingdom of heaven, but in this one over here, it's got the kingdom of the heavens. And I said, well, okay. And he goes, well, I know there's a third heaven. And then I said, oh, really? That's pretty good. And I go, he says, so I know there's at least three that he's talking about here. And that, you know who that was? Dan. So Dan called me up and told me that that I should make sure that I say that S on the end of that. And so I'm just saying that right now.
Well, we do respect Ivan. We do respect him. And he is, I've only caught a couple of errors, really, in all the years, 52 years. He is so good on his translations. Anyway, so again, the theme of Matthew is Jesus Christ is the King, and this is about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of heavens, and there are three. And God is in third heaven, just to go a little bit ahead of time, we found out. And one person, it looked like Paul actually went there. He said, I know a man that was caught up to paradise, paradousia in the Greek, and he was caught up to third heaven. Same thing. So paradise is in third heaven, and that's God's realm. That's his throne. Isn't it interesting? The temple of God in the Old Testament has three rooms. And these three rooms, man has three parts to him. He has spirit, soul, and body. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord. So in Matthew, we are focusing on the first step that we take is recognizing Jesus is the King, not a pastor, not a minister. In Mark, we'll find out that every minister should be a servant, like a person waiting at tables. He should not be exalted. There was a church that was called the Church in the Round that was built. It was a black church, and I really respected what they were doing and what they said. And the minister was in the middle, and seats were all around him, and he was at the bottom, and everybody was on top. And so this is what's called the Church of the Round, and that's the right way to do things, where the Lord is sends us to serve other people. The minister should never be over a person. That's why the axe was laid to the root. The true servant was going to come. He was not going to come over the people. He was going to come under them and lift them up. And that is the difference with Matthew and Mark, and Luke and John will show this. So the first thing right off the bat after he establishes he is king, we find out he's the servant. And his ones that he sends out should be walking in his footsteps, and they should be servants also.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.